Captivated by that hymn that I found myself a hymn book, and then I photocopied it. In those days, I'm sure you can still do today, but you photocopy it down small until I had it so that it was sort of folded up a large postage stamp, and I used to keep it and look at it for the next 20 odd years before the Lord was pleased to save me. So every time I think of that, I think of the fact that the grace of God is powerful and effective. The timing of the grace of God is in God's time, isn't it? It's in God's hands. And so we are all in his hands. And that's how John the Baptist finishes. It's such a comfort, isn't it, that before we come to look at the wrath of God abiding on people, we are told that the Father loveth the Son, and all things are given into his hands, which means that all of the judgment is given into the hands of God, and we are commanded of God to simply preach the word of God and leave God to deal with the fruit and the results of his word being proclaimed. And we just pray that God will guide us and cause us to be faithful. There's a well-known story of two Scottish preachers. One of them was Andrew Barnard and the other was Robert Murray M'Cheyne, and they used to meet on Monday mornings and talk about the messages that the Lord had laid on their hearts for the previous morning. And I think it was Barnard who asked M'Cheyne what he preached on, and he said, "I was caused of the Lord to preach on hell." And Barnard turned to him and said, "Did the Lord by his grace allow you to preach it with tears?" I thought it was a great response, isn't it? I'm not given to public shows of affection, but this These are serious and heavy verses, but I'm thankful that prior to looking at verse 36, we have verse 35, and what a glorious description of our God. What a glorious description of the remarkable relationship between God the Father and God the Son. John begins his gospel by speaking of that relationship. The Word was with God, the Word was face to face with God, and the Word was God. The Word was. The Word was in communion, was in fellowship with his Father. And what a remarkable fellowship that must have been. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. We don't know anything of love unmingled with sin and selfishness of all sorts. But this love is an extraordinary love, isn't it? It's the love that we will experience when we leave this world and we leave this body of flesh behind, which is continually in rebellion against God. And we will know then the depths of the love of God in a way which will be experienced forever. That's why eternity goes on forever, doesn't it? Because that's how long it takes. It's impossible to plumb the depths of the love of God. But the Father loveth the Son. He's called the Son of his love. He's called my dear Son. He's called my only begotten Son. And at his baptism, the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son." He is the Son of the Father's love. This Son is given. His name is Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Don't you love saying Jesus Christ is God? It's really good, isn't it? It's worth saying again, isn't it? Jesus Christ is God. As God, he reigns and rules over all things. He is the Son. He is the Mediator. He is, as Hebrews 1 says, he's the brightness of the glory of God and is the express, the exact image of his person. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. And this is the great mystery of godliness, isn't it? This is the mystery of reverence for God. Revering God as God is what that mystery of godliness is about. It's God manifest in the flesh. He's justified in the spirit. He's seen of angels. He's preached unto the Gentiles. He's believed on in the world and he's received up to glory. So the Bible tells us with abundant clarity that that faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the preached word of God. The Father loveth the Son. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. All things into his hand. That all things is a remarkable phrase, isn't it? It means that there's nothing left outside of that. Everything that wriggles in this universe, every event in history, is one of the all things. The Lord Jesus Christ is all things in the past. He's all things in the present. He's all things in the future. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's all things in the eternal covenant, that covenant that's in his blood. He is the covenant itself. He's all things in life. Eternal life is in his Son. This is eternal life, that you know him. There is a record. There's a record on earth and there's a record in heaven, according to 1 John chapter 5. This is the record. This is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. There are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He loves the Son, and he's given all things into his hands. He that believeth on the Son, 1 John 5:10, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God, hath made him a liar. Not that God can ever be a liar in any way, shape or form. He is truth and embodiment of truth in every possible way. But you're claiming him to be a liar. What a dangerous thing to be doing. Because he had believed not the record that God gave of his son. We're here to give and to repeat God's words back to him. God has given a record of his son. We're here to declare that record, and we're here to declare it back to God again. The Lord Jesus Christ is all things. All things in the covenant of grace. He's all things in all of time. He's all things in the kingdom of God. In Colossians 1 it says, this is the kingdom. You are transferred by a sovereign hand of God out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. The Lord Jesus prayed that high priestly prayer on that night that he died, and he made a remarkable number of petitions. And the good thing, it's a very good thing and a healthy thing for us to go through John 17 and mark the petitions down and then put yea and amen beside every single one of them. He begins in verse 1, doesn't he? He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, the Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He's all things in all of creation. He's all things in all events. He's all things over all people. In Matthew 28, he says, all authority is given to me on heaven and earth. He has all authority. There is, in John's Gospel and in this particular passage of Scripture, there is very much that is given, isn't there? And every time there's something given, there is a reception in the Scriptures from God. He's given him all authority. He's given his witnesses. John describes himself as a witness, doesn't he? He says in verse 28 of our passage in John 3, he says, I'm sent before him. He has all authority, the Lord Jesus Christ, to send his witnesses. He has all authority for what the witnesses say. He has all authority for the effects of that witness on the people. And he has the bride, verse 29, the Lord Jesus Christ has a bride. He had a bride before the foundation of the world. He had a bride that he was going to redeem and purchase for himself, in particular redemption. He has friends, the bridegroom. He has, as John so beautifully described him, he must increase. The one that comes from above, the one that comes from heaven in verse 31, he's above all. And he has a testimony. He testifies of what he has seen and heard, and to deny his testimony is to call him a liar. He has a testimony. And he that has received his testimony, verse 33, is set to his seal that God is true. For God, this one speaks the words of God. When you hear the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, he always speaks the word of God. He doesn't say, the prophet so-and-so said unto you. He says, with the most remarkable authority, I say unto you. I say unto you. He always speaks as God. I say unto you. He speaks words of creation. He speaks words of redemption. He speaks words of cleansing. When he says to that woman that we've been looking at in Luke 7, he says, your sins are forgiven. He speaks with powerful authority. No one, they knew that no one can forgive sins but God alone. He's saying, I am God and I have the power to forgive sins, and I forgive sins by blood redemption, and you are clean, he said to his apostles. You're clean because of the word that I have spoken unto you. He speaks the word and you're clean. And God has given him the Spirit without measure. He has all authority. All his enemies will be under his feet, as Pharaoh and his army was at the bottom of the Red Sea. He is as God the Son. He is as the man who is God. He's the fit person to contain all things. And he's wise enough to order all things. And he's sovereign. I love how often the scriptures say he is able. He is able again and again. There is no limit to the ability and the power of our great sovereign Redeemer. Oh, to have him as a friend, brothers and sisters. To know him as a sovereign, but to have him as a friend. Such is the wonder of the incarnation. Such is the wonder of redeeming blood. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and to believe not. See, believing not is an activity, isn't it? Is to have heard and rejected. He is able to be all things, isn't he, in all creation. To participate in these things, you have to be in him. To be in him is to have all that God has. Christ is all. Christ has a universe. He created all things. Nothing was made except that he made it. He has power over all things, and everything's under the power and dominion and the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when Paul says God works all things together for the good of those who are the called, those who are loved of God, those who are the called, he can say that because he knows that he has all power to do all those things. And he knows that he has power to do all those things because he's met him. He has power. He has power. And we love the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely sovereign. Don't you love the fact that he's been sovereign over your lives? Someone was asking about that wonderful verse in Proverbs 16, verse 9. And it says, in our minds we plan our paths. And we're continually planning our paths, aren't we? We're thinking, this is what I'm going to do this afternoon, and this is what I'm going to do tomorrow, and this is what I'm going to do next week. And James reminds us, if God wills, you will. But I love what Proverbs 16:9 says. In our hearts, we're planning all the time. And then God determines. In the original, God determines where your feet land, brothers and sisters. God determines. Why are we here today? Why are we here today? And not worshipping at some citadel of Satan somewhere else in the world. Why? We're here because God has ordained that we'd be here. What are the words that we're going to hear? Simon's preparing a message for us in a few weeks' time. That message was written before the foundation of the world. The hearers were known before the foundation of the world. The impact of it was known before the foundation of the world. Such is the power of our God. That is what it is for Jesus Christ to be God. And anything that diminishes any of that at all is a denial of his deity. See, Christ is all in the first creation, isn't it? He spoke, the Word spoke, and creation came into existence. How big is our God? He spoke and this universe came into existence. Isn't that ridiculous? Having the testimony of God, every time man goes exploring anywhere in space these days or anywhere on the earth, he's always trying to find some other source of life, isn't he? He's always trying to disprove the whole. We're spending billions and trillions of dollars building all these spaceships so we can disprove the existence of God. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Why? Because we want to be on a throne ourselves. We just want to be on a throne. Elon Musk thinks he's going to be the saviour of the human race by being able to establish a colony on Mars. What a ridiculous notion that is. What a ridiculous notion. Christ is before all things in creation are in his hands. He's before all things, isn't he? He was before all of these things. He says in Proverbs 8, I was with him. I was with him as delight. It's his delight. All things are made by him. All things are made for him. All things are made for him. All things are held together by him. Hebrews 1 says he's upholding all things by the word of his power. The reason you're sitting on that seat at the moment and on a solid floor is because the Lord Jesus Christ is upholding all things by the word of his power. Always. In fact, what he says to all of this creation, he says, it's mine. It's mine. And he says in that parable that people are so offended by, and people in his day are offended, and people are still offended by those workers that came and toiled all day, and then the Lord gives the workers that have turned up at the 11th hour. It's a great picture of grace, isn't it? We think that we're the workers that's turned up and slaved away all day in the heat, and we earned something. We're not. We turned up at the 11th hour, brothers and sisters. And the Lord turned to those people and said, don't I have the right? that I have the right to do as I wish with what is mine. That I have the right. He does. He does. The Father loves the Son and given him all authority over creation, and he's given him all authority over redemption. See, Christ was all in the old creation. Christ is all in the new creation of grace. It's all of Christ, isn't it? It's all. It speaks of his glory and his wonder and his power. And it speaks of your redeeming loves. He's all things from the Father. The Father sent me, he says. And I always do what pleases the Father. The Father loves the Son. It's the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, and there's no reason for people to think, if they're outside of Christ Jesus and they find him offensive, to think that somehow God loves them. The love of God is in Christ Jesus. There is nothing outside of the Son except the wrath of God. For he is life. Outside of him is death. He is life. Outside of him is darkness. He is love. Outside of him is wrath. All the fullness of the Father dwells in him. He's full. All the fullness of the grace of God dwells in him. All the fullness of the love of God dwells in him. All the fullness of mercy and grace. He is all from the Father. He is all with the Father. He's all to the Father. He's all in coming to God, is all in approaching the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Philip. Have I been with you so long and you don't understand all these words and all these things I've done? No man comes to the Father but by me. Other sheep I have, he says in John 10, other sheep I have, them I must bring in. It's all in Christ, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is all in the gospel. We have nothing else to preach, do we? Jesus Christ and him crucified is all we want to say. And we want to say it again and again and again. The servants of God are separated under the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. The gospel's concerning him. It's all about him. God sends his people to preach the gospel. As the Lord said, as the Father sent me, so I send thee. You see, preaching is a cooperative activity, isn't it? I'm standing here, but preaching is something that we all do. There's no preaching without an audience. There's no preaching without someone being sent. There's no preaching without God gathering the people to hear what's being said. And they'll hear. By the power of God, they'll hear with the ears of the new birth, and they'll hear, they'll see with the eyes of the new birth. You must be born again to see. You must be born again to enter. God, our Saviour, gives the grace and the power to preach him, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And I love how he finishes Matthew's Gospel. All through the Gospel accounts, we have a declaration of God being the great I Am. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am. I am God. I am that I am. And right as he's about to go up to heaven, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, and in our translation it says, I am with you. In the original, the I am for the first time is broken up. And it says, I with you am. What a great picture of the union we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great picture of being wrapped up in him and being one with him. That's why we have to preach. Why we love to preach Christ and not ourselves. See, Jesus Christ is the gospel. It's the gospel. The gospel is a person. In preaching the gospel, we are describing and declaring a person as God describes him. We've got no reason to change. What would you change about him, brothers and sisters? What is there anything that you find defective in the character of God as revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ? God forbid. Woe unto me if I preach not Christ. And how wonderfully suited in all things he is to all the circumstances of our lives, at every moment of our lives. If you're in darkness, he's the light of the world. If you're a sinner, he's the saviour of sinners. If you're weary of the journey, he says, oh, come to me and I'll give you rest. If you're thirsty, he says, ho, everyone that is thirsty, come to the waters. If you're weak, he says, I'm your strength. His power is made perfect in our weakness. And at that moment of leaving this world, as we all must, he says, on the resurrection and the life, though you be dead, yet shall you live. Christ is all. All things are given into his hands. He's everything in the gospel. And as the following verse says, he's everything in judgment. All judgment is given into his hands. He's all. He's all in creation. He's all in the new creation. He's all in sustaining of that creation. Just as he sustains the old creation by the word of his power, he sustains the new creation. He is the fountain. He is the source of all grace. He says, come to me and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me and you will find rest for your souls. Christ is all in every grace. Christ is all in all the worship of God. You cannot worship God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot come to God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot come to God except in him and by him and through him. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, it is him that we're remembering, and it's him, his body and his blood that shed for us. In baptism, it pictures his death and resurrection. All our praise is directed to him and all our fellowship with the Father is with his Son, Jesus Christ. The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hands. What a wonderful statement that the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist made, John made of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of his fullness, John chapter 1 verse 16, and of his fullness all things, of all of this fullness, we have all received grace for grace. Worship is gazing and adoring and resting. Faith. Faith is the means by which we are receivers, receiving all that he is, receiving all that's said about him. Lord, make us receivers of his fullness. Amen. Let's have a break. Thank you.